Adam, you and Mike were off-roading. You do that every once in a while together. And you kind of took a trail you hadn't planned on. Tell us what happened that afternoon.
So Mike and I were riding all morning. It was going to be an all-day trip. And we stopped in the town of Bacchus for lunch. And during the morning, we were taking a bunch of trails that we've never taken before. We usually stay on the same trails. We usually take two machines so we can race up and down the trails. And then, so we took Mike's machine instead, and it was just the two of us all day in that. So after we had lunch, it was like, okay, well, let's come up with the game plan.
And after lunch, we had two choices we were trying to make. One was to head south, and the other one was to kind of head north back to the campground where we're staying. And we chose the northern route because we probably wouldn't have had enough gas to do the southern route and then return to the north.
Right.
And that northern route, then we just kind of were in and out of trails and following it. And we saw one, we were like, hey, well, let's go down this one, because it looked like it might be a shortcut to ultimately get to where we needed to be to get home. And then that's when we came across the minivan stuck in the mud and Catherine in the water.
Yeah, so as we were going down that trail, the main trail, we actually bypassed that smaller trail that Catherine was on. So we actually turned around, which we would have never done if it was just the way we always did it. And it was a minimum maintenance road, and it kind of broke off. You could go take the minimum maintenance road, or it was the road that Mike was talking about that Catherine was on. So on that trail, it was a pretty nasty trail. There's a lot of mud holes. There was a lot of trees. There was actually a tree that had fallen and crossed the path. So you had to get off the path and go into the trails. Now, mind you, these trails are very thick with trees. So once we got around that, we probably went another, I don't know, 200 yards or whatever, and we came upon Catherine.
Yeah.
So was it strange seeing a vehicle there?
Very strange.
Yeah.
Did it feel creepy?
Yes.
Yeah, it was very, like we said, it was like a scene out of a movie. It just looked too perfect and something wasn't right.
Yeah. So as we pulled up on that, on the van, like Mike said, we thought it was too perfect. We thought it could have been like an ambush, like crazy. And once we saw the body sticking out of the water next to that van, that's when everything got real.
Did you think that you'd found a person who had died?
That had crossed our mind. Yep. And we were in my Razor when we noticed her. And then I remember Adam saying to me, Mike, there's a body. And I was kind of like, yeah, I see it. And that was kind of when our wheels started to turn. Like, we got to process this and, you know, make it safe for us to help her. So we wanted to check our surroundings and check the minivan to make sure that, you know, there was nobody else there that, you know, could cause harm. And so we did all that. And then it was after we made it safe for us to do our work we needed to do, that's when we heard the Catherine say, help me.
So mind you, Mike is a retired U.S. Marshal. And so Mike kind of took the lead on this one with what to do. So we asked her if she was okay. She was able to speak. She was looking at us. But like, the only thing sticking out of this puddle was just like her cheeks, her eyeballs, her nose, her mouth. You couldn't see her ears. So we asked her a couple questions real quick, and then we pulled her out of the puddle and laid her next to where she was, because we didn't want to hurt her, you know, but we knew she needed help. So Mike told me to get on 911, and I did, and then Mike started asking her questions.
Yeah, and I just asked her basic questions, you know, like, you know, what's her name? Does she know where she's at? And quite honestly, I, you know, in my experience over the years, when, and you come across someone like this, they're usually in shock and they can't answer those questions. And so when Catherine was answering them, I kind of was skeptical that they were even true, but it was still keeping her energized and motivated to survive. And so, I stuck with that line of questions to, who she is, where she's at. And she said, "I've been here for 3 days." And then that was when Adam kind of was getting a clear signal with the 911 operator. And then we put the 911 operator on speaker. So then we kind of were having a three-way conversation with getting, a little bit of information from Catherine to assist the 911 operator.
Yeah, so that's what we were doing, and then I was talking to the dispatch, and Mike was do assessing the whole situation, and Mike went to Polaris Ride Command. That was the machine we were in. We were in a Polaris Razor, and on Polaris Ride Command, you can get your coordinates from it. And honestly, if it weren't for Polaris Ride Command, that would have been a whole different story. That was a game changer for us. That helped us. We relayed that information on to dispatch. Dispatch had relayed it on to her team that was already looking for her. So we didn't know that Catherine was missing for 3 days. And as the paramedics started showing up, well, let me back up. So we gave them the coordinates, and then dispatch told us that she had people on the way. And Mike was like, okay, well, I'll jump in my side by side and head to the main road. So paramedics, we can get the paramedics back down in this trail, because there's trails everywhere out there, everywhere.
Yeah, and there, like Adam had mentioned earlier, there was a couple smaller trails that kind of went off of where we were at. So my concern was that maybe these people would get lost trying to find us. And the 911 operator did ask that one of us go back to so that was our decision at the time that I would go back and try to find these people that are looking for us. And it actually, I came across the first person probably in the first 5 minutes of heading down a trail. And this gentleman, he knew where he was going. And so I turned my machine around and kind of, he was leading at first, but then eventually I got in front of him and brought him to the exact location. And that is where he then had radio communications with the other people en route and other paramedics. And he confirmed everything that we were doing and that it was Catherine. And then him and I went back to retrieve more first responders that had arrived, but they couldn't get their vehicles down the road. And so it was him and I who were going to load them up in my Razor, and he had an off-road Jeep. And then we were going to bring more people to the scene. And from there, Adam can kind of tell you what they were doing, because I was going back and getting more 911 opera or more search and rescue people while Adam was working with these other three guys.
Yeah, so once everybody started getting back and all the paramedics were there, they had a huge rescue vehicle. It had tracks on it. It was a very impressive machine. So as they were like going back and getting set up to put Catherine on the stretcher, the sheriff had arrived, and the rescue workers, these guys were all volunteers, by the way, local volunteers for this. And I want to emphasize how important those guys were, because we've been hearing that word hero a lot, and we're not the heroes. These volunteer firefighters and paramedics are the heroes. They came back, and it's because of them that Catherine was able to get to the hospital. We just found her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as they were kind of as the sheriff and the paramedics were going back and forth, they were like, hey, this is that lady that's been missing for 3 days. And like, it was, wow, Mike, what did we just do? You know, wow. And then it started, like, we started to understand what was going on, you know, because it was so out of the normal finding a minivan on a trail that it was not supposed to be on. Probably wasn't even capable of being on, but apparently she has Jedi driving skills to get a minivan down a trail like that. So If you ever come to North Dakota and you need a four-wheel drive, buy a Chrysler minivan because it can go through some stuff.
Yeah, she that was, backing up a little bit here, and when you asked us, about coming up on the van and what we saw, that was probably the most shocking thing, because we've come across vehicles in the woods before, but usually they're deeply embedded in the woods. They're really stripped out. They're, 20, 30-year-old vehicles. They're, pretty much all the metal's rusted off of them, or tires are gone. But this was an absolutely fresh, a newer model minivan, and it looked functional and working. And that was, what was really odd about the scene when we first came up.
Right.
So in some of the reports that I've seen from the local media there, you're pretty sure that God kind of had something to do with getting you guys there?
100%.
Yep.
100%. There was we were supposed to go on an organized run on Saturday, that Saturday. Well, on Friday, the night before, we found out that it was the following week. So we were like, okay, well, what do we do? What do you want to do? And that, like I said before, like Mike and I never take the same machine. We always take two. And then we never go on those back trails. We always stay on the ones that are fun for us and we know really well. And there had to be a reason why that happened. And for me, I 100% know that that was the hand of God. 100% brought Mike and I down trails we've never ever been before, down trails that people hadn't been in 3 days to find her before we did. Like she went missing on the 3rd of June and we found her on the 6th at 2 p.m. There's no other, for me anyway, that there's no other reason why we were there but because God was guiding us.
Yeah, and I second that. And it's like I had mentioned to another news outlet, the I've always been a person that believed in you are where you're supposed to be, and just appreciate that time, and don't get mad at the some of the annoying things that happen, because that's where you're supposed to be. And you might be slowed up by something, or something gets in the way and you're annoyed because maybe you're running late. That's where you're supposed to be. And that day, there's a lot of little things that gotten out of my and Adam's way and my way, whatever, that day, and made us turn here, made us turn there. And
Made us turn around to go back down that trail to find Catherine.
And so that's kind of what I've always believed, is just we are where we're supposed to be and appreciate it. And even since the rescue, there's been so many things I've experienced this last week that has put me and Adam together to get our story out. Where, like one example, I was supposed to fly out of town on Friday, in which I would have missed, this interview we're doing right now. But for some reason, that training got canceled, and it got canceled Thursday afternoon. And so once again, I am where I'm supposed to be. And, it's just, he's working every minute with us.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Have you spoken to Catherine since then?
So after we left the scene, Mike and I started making our way back, and throughout the course of the rest of the day, we started having questions. Like obviously it was going through our mind, and obviously it impacted us very much, and I believe it's going to impact us for the rest of our life. We started questioning why she was out there and like how she was out there. And so a lot of things didn't feel right in our stomach. So what I did is I put something on social media on one of the community babbler pages. And I just kind of announced that we found the lady that was missing. And my goal there was to find some of the family or friends. And I wanted to reconnect with some of the volunteer firefighters and paramedics just to thank them.
Yeah, and that's one reason we are out here today, because we're hoping to run into some of these people, and we can kind of exchange stories and just enjoy Minnesota love and talk to these people and thank them personally and give them our appreciation because we just started the rescue, but they finished it.
Yeah, they're the heroes for sure. So, we had our questions and started finding people on social media, and somebody reached out to us and told us where the paramedics had taken her. So the following day, Sunday, I called the hospital, and they forwarded me to C Catherine, and I got to speak to her. I asked her if she remembered who we were, and she said yes, and she thanked us, and I thanked her for being strong and being smart. And like that woman is so strong. Like, she stayed in a puddle for 3 days, you guys, and like she couldn't get out. She said it was like quicksand, and she watched the sun come up. She watched the sun go down twice while she was in that puddle.
And
And yeah, and she's just amazing.
the night before we found her, a bad rainstorm come through, and that was probably the scariest night for her because she's in a puddle already that was, however deep it was, and all of a sudden now she's feeling the water rise around her as this rainstorm came through, and the fear that she must have had, but also probably just praying to God, please stop this rainstorm, please stop this rainstorm. And he answered her. And then I'm sure her continued prayers got answered when Adam and I showed up. And
Amen.
then as she got her on the stretcher to get taken to the hospital, she got to look up at God once again in a clear blue sky and thank him.
And thank him.
Wow.
If I could share one more thing
Yeah.
to your listeners, it would be to all the small town communities and how important it is to volunteer for the firefighters and the paramedics, because you guys play such a huge role to your local community. And if you're able to save a life like Catherine's, it's worth it. It's 100% worth it. And us city boys, we have a ton of respect for you rural boys and girls, because watching you guys and how selfless you were to save a life, like damaging your own vehicle, your own personal vehicle, to get out there to save somebody like Catherine. So, please, if you're interested at all, join your local firefighters or paramedics.
All right, it's a worthwhile message. Adam and Mike, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Nice talking to you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. You have a good day.
God bless you.